Bluesmen usually don't come from New Orleans, play with Duke Ellington, or open nightclubs at the age of 70, but singer and guitarist Lonnie Johnson was no ordinary bluesman. He was one of the most prolific recording artists of all time and raised guitar playing to new heights. Rock historian Ed Ward has a profile.
Lonnie Johnson, the biggest selling blues man of the 1920s and 30s, was everything the other blues men weren't. Musically literate, urban, and able to play in a wide variety of styles and genres, he traveled internationally and was able to sustain a career for most of his life. Furthermore, he wasn't too crazy about blues. "I recorded 125 songs against the same chords," he once said. Alonzo Johnson was born in New Orleans in 1889, or 1894, or 1899. Nobody seems to know for sure. His whole family played music, and young Lonnie joined his father's band as a violinist. Switching to guitar, he played the bordellos in Storyville, and in 1917 he went to England with a review that entertained the troops, having survived the flu epidemic that killed most of the other members of his family. Settling in St. Louis, he formed a band with his brother James and worked on the riverboats that went up and down the Mississippi. This gave him a high enough profile to attract record company attention, and in 1925, he made his first record.
"I want all you people to listen to my song. I want all you people to listen to my song. Remember me after the days I'm gone.
Mr. Johnson's Blues was the first of hundreds of records he'd make over the next three decades. Johnson was a tireless worker and a consummate professional. He toured with Bessie Smith, had his own radio show in New York, and was a fixture on bandstands in both Cleveland and Chicago, where he worked with the first generation of Chicago bluesmen. But his virtuosity and fame also got him into situations no other bluesman could have coped with. Matching Louis Armstrong note for note on the scat chorus of Hotter Than That was an astonishing feat, but Johnson made it sound easy. Thus, when another famous jazz man came calling, he was ready. On Duke Ellington's 1928 recording of The Mooch, he courted behind Barney Bigard's clarinet and picked behind Baby Cox's vocal. He also recorded with white jazz guitarist Eddie Lang, although the record company billed Lang as Blind Willie Dunn to obscure the fact. When the Depression killed the record business, Johnson moved to Cleveland and only played part-time, but in 1937 he headed to Chicago and galvanized the scene that was gathering around Bluebird, RCA's race label there. As one of the label's studio musicians, he found himself on even more records. At an age where hard living, or at least declining popularity, had silenced most of his generation, Lonnie Johnson was still at it. In 1948, he actually had a number one R&B hit, Tomorrow Night.
Tomorrow night, will you remember what you said tonight? Tomorrow night, will all the thrills be gone? Tomorrow night, will it be just another memory? Or just another lovely song that's in my heart to linger on. Your lips are so tender.
Still, although he managed a couple of more smaller hits, he was smart enough to realize that it was time to retire, so he took a job at the Ben Franklin Hotel in Philadelphia and put it all behind him. It didn't work. As the folk revival of the early 60s gathered steam, he was rediscovered, re-recorded, put on the road with other blues singers whose careers had been revived, including his old friend Victoria Spivey, and toured Europe with blues reviews. In 1965, he moved to Toronto, where he opened a club called Home of the Blues. It took an automobile accident and a few strokes to slow him down, and his last public appearance was in Toronto with Buddy Guy in 1970, a few months before a final stroke killed him. Lonnie Johnson may not have fit the stereotype of the old, poor blues man, but his legacy of virtuosity continues to inspire guitarists the world around.
Ed Ward currently lives in Berlin.